In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 250 years this Saturday, we celebrate as a nation. We approach it in a time of great conflict and division. Our world is divided. Our nation is divided. Our families are divided. Pretty much just right down through the whole gamut. And we're tired of it. At least I am. I think it's palpable. I think you can feel it too. I think we all sense it to some extent. And we feel like at least our faith, at least our religion should bring us some measure of peace, some measure of quietness and respite to help us live and exist in the midst of all of this. Some kind of healing to the brokenness that we see all about the world and in our lives, all of these divisions. And then we hear the hard word of Christ in the gospel today. I come not to bring peace, but what? A sword. Not peace, but a sword. St. Paul, both in his sermon in Hebrews and in his epistle to the church in Ephesus, calls the word of the Lord the sword of the Spirit, piercing and sharp. He describes it as a weapon that can either kill or give life. And with this weapon, the church on earth goes forth out into the world to do the work of God, a world that seems, maybe now more than ever, like it needs to be brought together. Like it needs to not be divided. It needs some peace. Like it needs to come together under some flag, some banner, some something. And yet God summons us to go out with him with a severing weapon in our hand, in our hearts, in our mouths, that slices and pierces and divides even further. The gospel and the Christian religion born from it divides. But it also unites, right? It also makes brothers, blood brothers by Christ, people who have never even met one another before, halfway across the world. But you see, it doesn't do so in a sort of fake, name-only way that we've grown so accustomed to, in the way that the world operates. The way that we see every day. And Christ tells us what we're getting into when we come to him. Now, this should not surprise us, even though it may strike us. It should not surprise us. Because Christ says, this may very well separate a father from his son, a mother from her daughter, in-laws from in-laws, even brothers from sisters. But it does more. Because it separates those who've been set apart, who have submitted to Jesus Christ, from those who have no place in the kingdom. The sword of the word of God, it's not a gentle whispering of peace, right, in this already chaotic world. It's not what it is. It's the trumpet blast of division that sets apart those who hear, those who know, and those who obey the voice of the Good Shepherd, and those who reject it. And no matter how many bumper stickers get plastered on the backs of our cars, peaceful coexistence will never happen between the hosts of heaven and the hosts of hell. Never, never. Because newsflash, if you didn't know this, we are at war. We are at war. Whenever Christ is preached, whenever the gospel is preached in its purity, the sword of the word of God is brought down in its full force. And it always causes division between those who believe and cling to it and those who hate and reject it. Always. The world around us, those unbelievers who belong to the hosts of hell, don't like this conflict. And they've set about to make dull the sharp sword of the Word of God. And they do this by attempting to make it a thing of little consequence, of no import. Right? It's not a big deal. Right? God's word is not important. It's not a big deal. It's whatever you want it to be. Right? It's clearly not what it says so plainly. Right? It's so old even. How could we even know what it means in our day and age? Right? It was written to a particular people, a particular context, right, they say, when women weren't allowed to occupy the apostolic office, when homosexuality was culturally viewed as a bad thing. Right? But now, what are we? Well, we're enlightened, and we're progressive even, and on and on. You know how it goes. You've heard it. You've lived it. This is the state of things today. How we have and are currently being conditioned by the prince and the power of the air to regard the sword that we have been given by Christ himself. Right? To follow the course of this world, St. Paul says. That's how we're being conditioned. Because in the beast system, you are free to talk about anything. Anything that you want to talk about. Except Jesus. He is the one thing that you are not allowed to mention in the system of the beast. He is the forbidden subject of our day and of our age. We can be fervent and fanatical about anything else we want to, about sports, about politics, right? About the World Cup. Even I, for one, have loved seeing Europeans come over to America, right? And falling in love with America and with Americans in general. I have liked seeing that. But we can be fanatical about anything we want to as long as it's not Christ. We have allowed the holy faith of the apostles to become in our hands private and passive and pale and dull. A plastic sword that bends and sways in whatever current of public opinion comes along. A weapon of no weight or substance for our refusal to hold people and leaders and nations accountable to what has always been preached and taught and believed and confessed and died for by Christians. In our world, and indeed our own country, after 250 years, you can't let the Christian religion offend anyone. Heaven forbid they get offended with the gospel and the sword of the word. In this culture where everyone is so soft and easily offended, all of a sudden too, it didn't happen really overnight. It actually came out of nowhere in this culture that was actually built by Christendom. I mean, surely I'm not the only one surely you've noticed this too. Ours is the only religion that is proscribed now in the West. Not Islam, not Hinduism, not any number of other religions. Right? Not even the Church of Satan. It's the culture of the West that Christendom formed, that drove men to the hard work of their hands to build and craft and explore and endeavor to pursue beauty and truth and goodness in all aspects of life, both private and public, and never apologized for it. I mean, when was the last time that Disney had a movie with Christian overtones, or even just undertones for that matter? I cannot remember the last movie. Can't remember. I watching Robin Hood not long ago, because that was one of my favorites growing up. And who's in Robin Hood? Friar Tuck. Right, at least a Christian undertone. Instead, what do we have now? In almost every Disney movie or some animistic neo-pagan backdrop, right? Two that feature Santa Muerta, the death cult, right? Now, I was talking with Brian about this before worship. There are times that I feel like that meme where I'm just like an old man with his fist raised in the air yelling at clouds. As I get older and older. But I point that out because the art that a culture produces is indicative of that culture's heart and soul. We publicly admit to all of our sins on social media, right? We flaunt our every sexual perversion, right? Parades and months to celebrate parts of it. But we dare not speak the name of Jesus without apology. We dare not. Faith dare not offend anyone with Jesus or anything that he taught. But God mercifully, and this is a mercy, mercifully sharpens what we would dull. The word of the Lord will not be bound even by those who fear speaking it in public and fear repercussion for doing it. The word of the Lord will not cower in silence because the word is Jesus Christ himself. He is the sword of the Spirit and he is living and active and at work even in the world today, even in this culture in which we live, that seeks to reject and silence him at almost every single turn. He's even now calling us in this culture to repentance and to life while there's still time left to do so. And wheresoever Christians will remember this, they will become mighty in the face of endless persecution. They will become fearless in the face of hell. Because even if the entire world rejects it and denies it and mocks it, it is and remains the truth of God forever and ever. There is only one name under heaven by which men are saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. And we should never be ashamed of saying that in our culture, speaking life, speaking the gospel to people who are dead and who desperately need to hear it. Few of us, myself included, believe that the day would come when our land, our own land, when Christendom would be at war with those of our own countrymen who would silence the word of the Lord and seek to throw out the gospel. And yet here we are. Our country's own senators eviscerating, humiliating a nominee who had written publicly that Christ is the only way and the only one in whom there is salvation. Publicly shaming and eviscerating him. A viewpoint that is intolerable to the world, and that the world will not stand. Major League Baseball, I know I mentioned it last week. At least I think I did. Used to love baseball. It strikes me fairly hard. But no longer is it give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. What is it? It's give me no Bible verses on our clothes. Give me no sword of the word of God anywhere within this league. And you can bet that if a Muslim put a verse of the Quran on their outfit, their uniform, nothing would have been said. Not a word. Why? Why? Because it's Christ that the demons hate. It's only Christ that can liberate sinners from their bondage. I mean, we certainly respect every person as being created in the image of God and the inherent dignity that comes with that. But we will never admit that every religion, every God are all the same. We will never do that. Or that is our salvation is in anyone but Christ. God save us from that. God grant us the courage never to commit treason against the King in this present order that we are living in, that we are called to be faithful to Christ in. Because, and I want you to remember this, it's not the immediate breaking of the sword that's the issue. That's not what's happening. It's not the quick dropping of the weapon. It's the slow grinding down. The slow grinding down of the weapon. The gradual wearing away of it while it's in our own hand. It's the loosening of the grip on the Word of God, the sword that He's given us for the life of the world. And this, in many ways, is so much more insidious and clever of our enemy than the immediate disarming. Because what does it do? It accustoms us over time, little by little, step by step, one concession after another, to where you don't notice it. Beloved of the Lord, we are at war. We are the church on earth, the church militant. But we don't fight for an earthly kingdom. We don't fight for geography, but for the word of the cross and the word of life, right? We fight for the word with the word. God's word is and remains a sword in this present age. But the only real estate it seeks to conquer is that of your heart. Because you see, the battle is not only just out there somewhere. And it's not happening over there or on the other side of the world. It's in here. Reaches down to the soul and the depths of a human. It's in here because every single day the Lord Jesus Christ must reclaim our hearts from the power of darkness and the powers that are arrayed all around and against us. Every day the Word who is Christ battles against the old man born of sin and hell that the new man might emerge. The new man created by Christ Jesus in baptism and for righteousness that he might emerge anew every single day. One day, at the name of Jesus, all knees shall bow and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. In this time right now, we cannot exchange the real peace that passes all understanding for fake peace, for cheap peace, for counterfeit peace that says shut up about Christ and go along to get along. We cannot do that. There's too much at stake to do that. Our lives are at stake. The lives of our children are at stake. The life of the world is at stake. 250 years of freedom from tyranny. 250 years. And it looks like the West is falling. Heading right into a bondage, slavery to a tyrant that makes King George look like a kitten. It's unfolding before our eyes. And a people in bondage who are chained to hell and death, they need us to be for them what we have been created by Christ and in Christ to be for them. To be courageous and unafraid, to wield the sword that we've been given, to be a nation that belongs to God forever and will not suffer ever Satan a place among us. Men and women who will not surrender the cross of Christ for anything or for anyone, no matter the cost to us. For our countrymen's sake, for our nearest neighbor's sake, we must not be moved from Christ. We must not fail to bear witness of him in all things amidst the dying, withering West. And so we labor, and we strive, and we toil, and we bleed for this with all of our life. Until that day when the sun rises in the east, never to set again, when the sword is beaten into a plowshare, and the wolf lies down with a lamb led by a child. But not yet. Now we fight. Oh God, be our strength and our protection in battle. In the name of Jesus. Amen.